Blog Talk Radio.
Father, I want to learn the mysteries of the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Because one day I really plan being there.
You're my Heavenly Father.
Where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, oh yeah. I just wanna say I love you. Yeah. Twisting on the eternal sea. Ain't no place I'd rather be than with you. Praising. Meditating every day and night. All I want is eternal life and to sing you a song.
Sing you a song, Father. Yeah.
Soft and long. Well, I'd like to be here alone with your Father, 'cause your love is like no other. Happy to see a new horizon slowly coming into you. Yeah, I wanna be living for the love of you.
Living for the love of you. Living for the love
that I'm giving. It's for the love of you.
It's for the love of you. It's for the love.
Give me peace in the name of your Holy Son. And so upon touching me when the morning comes, feel good to me. By loving me.
Take me there, Father. Give me your wisdom.
I wanna be living for the love of you.
What
living
I wanna
for
do.
The love of you. Living for the love.
All that I'm giving.
All that I'm giving.
For the love of you.
It's
your
for
love.
The love of you. It's for the love.
Ooh, paradise. I have it there, oh yeah, and I will never feel insecure again, 'cause you're the key,
you're the key, Father.
This I say, yeah, ooh, never again will I lose my way,
never again,
no, because your wisdom gives me words. And this is how I really feel.
I wanna be living.
Your love is real.
For the love of you.
I'm living
for the love of you. Living for the love
that I'm giving.
All that I'm giving.
It's for the love of you.
It's for the love of you. It's for the love.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and shalom. Shalom to all of our listeners.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are the Hebrew Israelite nation, the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. And we have another show for you tonight with my good friend and brother, Elder Yael, and myself, Elder Uliah. Yes, we're going to continue with this grace thing. Yah bless on the other week, and we believe we got a good fundamental start on this grace thing. We started out with a very powerful definition. We have to find out what sin is. And we went right to the root. 1 John 3:4, we found out that sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. And that's in the New Testament. Keep in mind. That's in the New Testament. And, well, we say that because we believe in the whole book. But sometimes of you favor the old over the new, or the new over the old. But for those who favor the new over the old, well, this is in the New Testament. Yes, they talk about the law in the New Testament. And sin is the transgression of the law. We have a scripture reading for tonight that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The elder reads as follows: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Yah, not of work, lest any man should boast." And again, that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elder. I would like to kind of tie some things up with over from last week. We explained what sin was, the transgression of the law, and there is a price to be paid for breaking the law. It's like there's a price to be paid for breaking the laws of society and, you know, in man-made society. Well, there's a price to be paid for breaking the law here. Sometimes some of us in years gone by, and some of us still think today that as long as we have the Mashiach, or, you know, some call him Jesus, that there is no price to be paid. You know, that's the get out of jail free card. You know, yes, I try to do good, but if I slip and, you know, do this or that, steal, kill, murder, commit fornication, adultery, well, you know, I got that get out of jail free card. His name is Jesus. All I have to say is, Jesus, forgive me. And, you know, it sounds like we're simplifying it, but no, unfortunately, we're not simplifying it. That is a belief system of some. But Yah says, his word says, do not be deceived. Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we have our Mashiach, but that's not a license to sin. There's still a price to pay. Okay, we're going to talk about that price to pay. It's found in Romans 6:23. I'm going to read it real quick. Scripture all of you know. Romans 6:23. Mm-hmm. It says, for the wages. Okay. Now, remember, we could use this. We're going to use this interchangeable. All throughout this lesson, sin. Yes, we're going to say the word sin, but we're going to also use it in the context of its, when we're reading scripture, we're going to use it in the context of its definition, which is the transgression of the law. Okay? So read it both ways. For the wages of sin is death. Now let's read it in the context of the definition of sin. For the wages or the price of transgressing Yah's law is death. For the wages or the price or the penalty of transgressing Yah's law is death. Okay? But the gift of Yah is eternal life through Yehoshua HaMashiach. All right. Now, let's go to some principles here. Remember, line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay, so we're going to break this down. We're going to give an illustration because we got to clear up this thing. What does the Mashiach mean for us? And what does it mean in context of this scripture we just read? You know, is there no more penalty for sin since we have the Mashiach? Meaning, you know, sin doesn't have consequences. Yah forbid. I'm sure the apostle, the great apostle Paul Shaul would say, Yah forbid. We read it, his own words last week. He say, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He say, in other words, shall we continue? Shall we break Yah's, shall we transgress Yah's law that grace may abound? He say, Yah forbid. Okay, so let's see where we are with our Mashiach. Let's see some of the benefits, the great benefits that we have in our high priest, Yehoshua. Okay, here's an illustration. For those who are walking in righteousness, okay, this is saying, what did our Mashiach do? What, among other things, did he accomplish on Calvary? For those who are walking in righteousness, in other words, who are not walking contrary to Yah's laws and commandments. Those who are not walking contrary to Yah's laws and commandments. You know, you're not going to be numbered with those who Yehoshua say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Ye that work iniquity. You know, you that transgress his law. Okay? So for those who are not walking contrary to Yah's laws and walking in his light of righteousness, Yehoshua's death, the shedding of his blood, paid the sin penalty. Okay, what was the sin penalty? We just read it, 6:23. Okay, what they used to do under the Old Testament. You sin, all you have to do is start in Genesis and read through Malachi, you would see plenty of examples where sin has actually cost people their life. That means people have picked up stones and stoned the perpetrator, stoned the offender, stoned them to death as a penalty of sin. Well, when we sin today, are we stoned or do Yah ask us to pick up stones? Well, Romans 6:23, the Messiah plays a big part in that. He paid the death penalty for our sin. But that doesn't mean, that means we're free to walk in his laws and commandments. That doesn't mean it's, we're free to keep sinning. Why did he have to pay the debt for our sin? Because we have sinned. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory. And there was a price to be paid. We just read it. Romans 6:23. What was that price? It said the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. Or put it this way. Mm-hmm. We all were headed towards death. We all were headed towards death. But Jehoshua, who had no sin, he died as a substitute. He died as an atonement for us. For us who? For us who are walking in newness of life. Okay. This is the thing we have to make clear. Yehoshua's blood does cover sin, but it's for a specific people. Now, I'm not talking about the racial thing now. I'm talking about it's for the righteous. And we're gonna read scripture to back that up. Okay, now here's an example. I work for a company, and without giving their name, this company pays 100% for college tuition for those who choose to go, for those who wish to, you know, engage in that program. Let's say you want to get a bachelor degree in management or business administration or whatever. Now, this program will cover all employees, all the employees who want to take part in that program. But here's the key. If you do not follow the policy of that program, they do not reimburse you. They do not cover the cost. In other words, 100 of us could enroll in that program, the tuition assistance plan. But they have a policy. And their policy is you have to stay a student in good standing with your academic institution. Whatever school you choose and whatever program you get in and major, you have to be in good standing, good academic standing. And by that, they measure it. You have to maintain a B average. It used to be a C-plus average, but they raised it to a B average. That means they're going to get some serious people. And you better be serious, because even though they promised to pay 100% of tuition, it's a condition. You have to have that B average. Now, guess what they'll do, Elder? If you get in there a few months later, you start, you know, jiving off and, you know, just getting lazy and uninspired, and you come up at the end of the semester and you got a C or a D. Well, is that plan going to cover your tuition? No. It covers the tuition of those who are serious. It covers the tuition of those who have worked hard, studied, while others were going out partying and, you know, having a good time. It covers the ones who sacrifice and put forth a good effort. Mm-hmm. So you could have 100 people enrolled, but 60 of them is going to have to pay back that money. 40 of them is going to go ahead on the program. You know, they got their B. They could continue on all the way till they get their degree. So that program, even though it says it covers your tuition, it has a stipulation. You have to be in good standing. Well, Yah's program of, you know, the church mentions grace, 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 and say we're saved by grace. You know, I see it in the blood of Jesus cover you by grace. Well, if the blood of Mashiach covers you by grace, that is true. Just like my employer, they cover your tuition 100%. But it's for those who put forth the effort. It's for those who complete the program. It's for those who complete their course of study each semester with that mark, with that passing mark. Now, they chose a B. Maybe they feel a B is shows that you're putting forth a serious effort. Some companies might say a C would do, but still, both have the same principle. They are covering for people who are actually applying themselves. And they might make a mistake. They might don't do good on one test, you know. They might ace a few tests in a row and then the next test come up with a C minus or something. But they keep going. And at the end, it's going to average all out. They're going to get that passing grade. They're going to get that passing B. And they're going to, their tuition is going to be covered 100%. Well, you think Yah is a, you think Yah just runs some kind of makeshift? His program of grace is just some free for all, where you know you could just come into it, register, and just act any kind of way, act like you're not serious. You know, keep your girlfriend, keep your boyfriend, in every sense of the word. You know. Keep your homemonging ways, you know, keep getting high, keep whatever you're doing, and nothing changed. You're just walking in church and saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, you learned a few religious phrases. So you think you're saying the law is dead when Yehoshua says, I didn't come to destroy the law. He says, matter of fact, until heaven and earth itself is passed away, not one jot or tittle of this law shall pass away. So you're changing the words, and you're saying even the Apostle Paul, he said we're under grace, we're not under law. Apostle Paul says, should we transgress Yah's law now that grace abounds? He said, Yah forbid. You see, this, what you call grace and the blood of Yeshua covers sin, but it covers those who are walking in obedience, not those who are walking contrary. Okay, good time to read this scripture. Going to 1 John. And anybody been listening to this? Our program elder for at least a year, they have heard us read this scripture. We're going to 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Okay, now you tell me if this, the blood of our Mashiach, is just for anybody living any old kind of way, that they're just going to walk right into the kingdom, dirty garments and all. Well, let's find out. 1 John 1 and 6, it says, if we say, okay, look, it starts off with a condition. What do you think the word if means? If is a condition. It means you have to do something. If this thing I'm seeking is satisfied, then I will do this. If, that means you have to do a certain action on your part for me to do this action on my part. If, it starts out with a condition, just like the company I work for. If you want to participate in their tuition assistance program, it's conditional. They say they'll cover everybody who wants to get in, but you better follow the terms. Here's the terms here. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, you're walking contrary. You're not walking in this light of righteousness. You're walking in sin, darkness. And we know what sin is. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we're righteous and know Yah, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But it says, verse 7, but if we walk in his light, if we walk in his light of truth, it says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what happens? And the blood of our Mashiach, Yehoshua, cleanses us from all sin or from all transgression. You see? So we have to walk in obedience. This is a conditional thing. For act like his blood is a remedy, but it's activated for the righteous. For those who are not walking contrary to Yah's laws and commandments, but for those who are walking in accordance to his laws and commandments. Not with the transgressors. The transgressors are those who are walking in opposition. Those who are saying, we do not have to do this anymore. Those who have put false words in our Mashiach's mouth, in our apostles' Shaul's mouth. This is a condition. But listen here, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of glory, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what is that sin he's talking about? 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresses the law. And if you walk in righteousness, remember his blood covers you. For sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, going to get a little strong language here. For you who say we do not have to keep the law anymore. Verse 8, he that committed sin or he that transgresseth the law, mind you, we're reading in the New Testament, he that transgresseth the law is of the devil. For the devil transgresseth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Yah was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what is the work of the devil? The devil was a transgressor, and he wants his children to be transgressors. Verse 9, whosoever is born of Yah doth not transgress the law. Now, I read that in the definition of sin. Whosoever is born of Yah doth not commit sin. Whosoever is born of Yah doth not transgress the law. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot transgress the law, for he is born of Yah. That means you cannot, as a practice of your life, you cannot transgress the law. You cannot be a transgressor. So that's the illustration. All can come into the tuition assistance plan, but you have to abide by the specific terms. All can come into Yah's grace. All can come into his grace. That's what we're talking about. But you have to abide by his specific terms. You cannot be a transgressor. You have to be a citizen in good standing. What's it? A citizen of his kingdom in good standing. Because they're children of Yah, they're children of the devil. How do we identify the two? How do we distinguish between the two? It's pretty easy. 1 John 3 and 8 says, he that transgresseth the law is of the devil. He that transgresseth the law is not a child of Yah. But he that transgresseth the law is of the devil. Hallelujah. We got that part pretty much laid down. We pretty much finished the foundation that we had laid last week. So,
hallelujah.
This grace thing, Elder, this mm-hmm. grace thing, why we brought it up, it has been brought up a lot by our dear Christian brothers, the ones I listen to. Some of them, and the ones I'm talking about, is the ones who know who we are. They know we're a Hebrew Israelite. They know we're the people of the book. But
mm-hmm.
they, it's almost like they stop there and suspended animation. They do not want to go further. They want to hang on to the religion of our slave master. I know there's
mm-hmm.
benefits for that. I know this, you know, especially if you're a big-time Christian minister, I know there's financial benefits in that. Come on, we're just going to tell it like it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get the tithing, which was part of the Levitical priesthood. Okay. You get the prestige. You get the tax exempt. I mean, there's a lot of, we could go on and on. There's a lot of financial benefit for remaining in Christianity. But when you come to benefits of the soul and your eternal salvation,
mm-hmm.
there's no benefits for remaining in the religion of our slave master. So what we're doing, we're just exposing and making it plain. Now,
mm-hmm.
speaking of the law, you know, they say, oh, we're not under the law. Well, first of all, they're the first ones to hang on to what they call a portion of the law. They hang on to a portion of the law that should be let go. Because I'm going to go into, Elder, before in a few minutes, turn this over to you, but they hang on to a portion of the law that the Bible
mm-hmm.
says is annulled, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get into that. We're going to get into, for time's sake, I'm going to pretty much for tonight go to Hebrews chapter 7. They hang
mm-hmm.
on to that that Levitical support system called tithing. Man, they throw away all the other portions. I even heard one of the big time ones say, we don't even have to keep the Big Ten anymore, you know, Ten Commandments. But he himself, he has a money. His last name denotes money. And so I won't say his name, but everybody should know who I'm talking about. He won't let go of that law. He won't let go of that law, that tithing. But he wants to let go of everything else, though. He won't let go of that law.
Sounds
okay.
Like a guy that has a little bit of dollar.
Yeah. His last name denotes someone who is I'll let it go. I can't say too much because you'll say his name. His name means money. Okay. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I would go to Hebrews chapter 7. Okay. All right, my dear brothers and sisters. So what has changed? Did anything change with your house? Yes, of course. Beautiful changes. Okay. Let's look at a couple of them. They say, well, we don't have to keep the law. No, we don't have to keep the law. And they'll use L-A-W, the word law. They'll use that word, paint everything there with a broad brush. Everything's done away with. No. What is Yehoshua? Simple. What did Yehoshua shed? He shed his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that are done away with. There are some things. What do they have to do with? They have to do with what he shed. They have to do with blood. Do we
mm-hmm.
still shed the blood of goats and calves, bulls, turtle doves,
mm-hmm.
for the remission
mm-hmm.
of our sins? No. The scripture says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So don't we still have to shed the blood of goats and bulls? No. You know, we used to have Levite priests come in and do all the rituals and everything. Everything had to be just right, or he could lose his life. Yah could slay him. And he makes atonement for the people's sins, you know, went up once a year.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to make atonement for his own sins too, because he was a man of imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went through that system for quite a while. But now look at Mashiach. There are changes. We're going to see what some of these changes. We're going to keep this simple. We're going to see what some of these changes is. We're going to see what's a null. Okay. So we start in starting Hebrews 7. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to just read verse. I was going to get right into the meat of it. I was going to start like in verse 8. But if you don't mind, Elder, I just want to just read verse, start at verse 1. Okay.
Go ahead.
But this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Yah, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that
mm-hmm.
also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Yah. I was about to say, who do that sound like? But it kind of said it itself.
Mm-hmm.
made like unto the Son of Yah, abided a priest continually. And please key in on that. A priest continually. A priest. Because you want to know what changed? With Yehoshua coming, shedding his blood, you want to know what changed? It's going to have a lot to do with that word priest. And abided the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. And verily they that
mm-hmm.
are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe for the Levi of the people according to the law. What law? The Levitical law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is written that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay, get ready for some meat here. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, remember that word priesthood, you want to know what changed? If therefore perfection were of the Levitical priesthood and their ceremonial rites and all that they did wonderful things. You know, Yah instructed them how to prepare the goats, the lamb, and everything, the sacrifices. To what? To atone for the sins of the people and to do what? And to atone for their own sin. He says,
mm-hmm.
but if that were perfect, listen here, if therefore perfection were by Levitical priesthood, so that system was perfect, for under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest, what further need? So if that priesthood was perfect, what further need would y'all have to provide another priest that should arise after the order of Melchizedek, who we described earlier in the earlier verses, and not be called after the order of Aaron. So we know that the order of Aaron, that's the Levites. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know what's changed? For the priesthood, this is verse 12, and I'm reading out of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, elder, the priesthood
mm-hmm.
changed. You know what happened with Yehoshua? The priesthood being changed. So we have another high priest, but this time it's not going to alternate. You know, those high priests under the Levites, man, it was many because what? They died. They were like us. They sinned. They got old.
Mm-hmm.
Their body, you know, their body got old and gave out on them, and they perished. And you have to have another high priest. Okay, so, but now we have one high priest. I'm getting a little ahead of myself because it's going to pretty much say what I'm saying. It says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. But what law? Are you saying that you're, or are we saying the Ten Commandments is going to be changed? No. No. Listen here. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. So in other words, you know what he's talking about? The Aaron's priesthood, that was the Levite. That was Levitical. That was a priest of Levi. But now we got another tribe. The priest
mm-hmm.
coming out of the tribe of Judah? Okay. It says, but for of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. No one came out of Judah, gave attendance to the altar. That was all from Levi. Okay, but
mm-hmm.
look. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Mashiach sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. So is it out of order?
Mm-hmm.
It says, verse 15, it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Okay, another priest outside of Levi, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now here's verse 18, Elder. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. What is they saying there, Elder? When it says that's when the Christians and not all Christians, but the ones who either have a lack of understanding or the ones who willfully just want to follow their fleshly nature. They think
mm-hmm.
verse 18 is liberating them. Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet grace liberated me. Because it says there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. What is it talking about, a disannulling? We're talking about the Levitical priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about y'all's commandments. When it says there is verily a disannulling of the commandment, this whole chapter was talking about the change in priesthood. We're not under the priesthood of Aaron anymore. And all the rituals
mm-hmm.
and rites that go along with it, the Levitical law.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think after the death of Yahushua, why do you think we're not slaughtering bulls? Why do you think we're not cutting the throats of goats? And like they used to do the ritual, have the scapegoat go into the wilderness. You know, our sins escape because we're under a new priesthood. So that ceremonial law that was performed by the sons of Levi, that has been disannulled. We have a new high priest. And like you say, it's not after mortal man, but it's after an endless life. Because Yehoshua will live forevermore. And he only had to go to the altar once and shed his blood. Not many times like the sons of Levi. So what are we saying to those who would love to say the law is done away with? Look at the blood. Don't look any further than the blood. Yehoshua shed the blood. What was the Levites for? For the atonement of sin for the people and, of course, for themselves. How did they do that? Well, the scripture said there's without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, year after year, the poor animals, the blood had to be shed. They wanted a perfect lamb or perfect as it can get without spot. And it was offered up for the sins of the people. But there was a lamb that was even more precious without spot or wrinkle. And it was offered up once. So those rites, those rituals, those ceremonies, and they did it justice in this Bible because they have it right. They said the ceremonial law. Matter of fact, they say ceremonial law abolished. Why is it abolished? Because we have a new priest. That's why it's abolished. Look at verse, we're still in chapter 7, but look at verse 12. 12 say, if the priesthood has been is changed, then that ceremonial law has to be changed. Look at verse 12. It says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. You know what context we're talking in. We're not talking about Yah's eternal laws. We're talking about this ceremonial law. We're talking about this law dealing with blood. It's very simple. The blood of Yehoshua. What blood? What did it take away? What did it replace? It replaced the blood of bullocks, lambs, she goats. You don't need the lineage of Aaron. It replaced the tribe of Levi, and replaced it with the tribe, the Mashiach from the tribe of Judah. It says Moses never talked about the tribe, anyone from the tribe of Judah in the priesthood. But Yah ordained our Mashiach to take away the sin of the world. And he's not from the tribe of Levi. He's from the tribe of Judah. It's all changed. The ceremonial law has changed. It's been annulled. The no longer necessary the blood of bullocks and rams. We have the blood once and for all of our Mashiach. And the lineage of Levi, has, as far as the priestly role, has come to an end. So I don't know why the European Ashkenazis are still talking about the Kohens, talking about, well, they're right from the priestly tribe. No, the priestly tribe right now is the tribe of our Mashiach. Yah, his high priest, his eternal high priest from the tribe of Judah. So what is that again? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Now you can read verse 18 in context. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So
hallelujah.
We're gonna pause right there. So we know we have a new high priest. And we know with that new high priest, we do not need the ceremonial rites that was performed by the sons of Levi. Because our high priest, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has taken over that role once and for all. And he signed it. He signed on to it with his blood. And that blood is the blood that's mentioned in 1 John that says, if we walk in his truth, if we do not be numbered among the transgressors, if you do not walk contrary to Yah's laws, but walk in obedience to it, he says that blood will cover your sins. That blood will be the bridge that will get you into the kingdom if you are walking in Yah's righteousness. Just like if you put forth that effort and get that grade, you have the tuition assistance plan, and some of the better employers, they promise they will stand behind it and they will pay your tuition in full if you're in good academic standing. And you're doing what you're supposed to do. Well, Yah's blood, Yehoshua's blood, is the same way. If you're in good standing, his kingdom, if you're a good law-abiding citizen, well, you know what, they brag on law-abiding citizens here in man's society. Well, Yah loves law-abiding citizens in his society, in his kingdom. And who are law-abiding citizens? Except those who walk in his laws and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And it says if you walk in them, his blood will cover, will atone for your sins. It will atone for your sins. All you have to do is take a good review of 1 John chapter 1, verses 6, all the way through the end of the chapter, and you will get a good context that Yehoshua's blood is not for the rebels. It's not for the lawbreakers. It's not for the transgressors. It's for those law-abiding citizens. It's for those who keep the terms of the policy. It says if you do this, then his blood will cover you from all unrighteousness. So that, with that, Elder, we're going to turn it over to you because we have to expose this false doctrine of grace. Not that grace doesn't exist, but how they twisted it and distorted it to mean what they want to try to support their theory, their lying theory, that Yah's laws are done away with. Yah's laws are not done away with. Shaul did not sign on to that. Yehoshua himself did not sign on to that. And definitely, Yah's word does not sign on to that. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a get-out-of-jail free card. Grace is God's love towards us and his mercy towards us. It's his love saying if we walk in his righteousness, that Yehoshua's blood will be the difference maker. It will fill in. It will be the fill-in to get us into the kingdom. Hey, Elder, 30-second analogy. They have what they call gap insurance. If you have car insurance, okay, you might have full coverage. But let's say you get into an accident, and your car might be about 2 years old. Well, if your car is totaled out, you know, your automobile loses, it depreciates from the moment you take it off the showroom floor. So let's say you pay $20,000 for it. That's a cheap car these days. Well, let's just for the math, easy math, say, let's say you pay $20,000 for it. Okay, it's totaled out. But the value now, at least according to the insurance company, the way they assess it, they might only give you $14,000 for it. You say, wait a minute, it's totaled out, so you should give me the full value I paid for it. No, they won't, because they go by the depreciated value. But if you add on gap insurance, it covers the gap. It covers the gap between the depreciated estimate, you know, of what they go by, the depreciated value, according to the full value that is going to cost to replace your car, you know, to make you whole, to make you want the value of that full, you know, 2018 model car that you bought. Well, you need that gap insurance. It'll stand the gap, and you'll be able to buy you another car of that same value. See, but you needed to add that gap insurance. Rehoshua is that gap insurance. His blood will get us over that hump. It'll make up the difference if we fall, if we err. But that's even then, you have to be in good policy. You have to be in good standing with that insurance policy. You miss some payments, you could forget it. So you have to be a good law-abiding citizen in Yah's kingdom. You can't be a transgressor. The gap insurance won't cover it. Yahushua's blood won't cover it. Hallelujah. Right. I'm going to turn it over to you. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah, Elder. That was very good. And that is very important, too, the point that you brought out, because I've noticed a lot of people don't understand just what we just went over, and it's right here in their face, clear as it is written. Just over into the next chapter, chapter 8, it starts out with verse 1. It says, now the summary of what we are saying is, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness of the heavens. You see? Yahushua, okay? And who serves in the set apart place and of the true tent, which Yah set up and not man. You see? That sums it up. That sums it up. That our high priest, Yahushua, okay? And so if we get this understanding, then we don't have to be walking around confused and being confused and confusing others about grace, okay? Because, you know, we don't have to be lying to ourselves or to others about grace. We're under grace and not under law now, not under the law. You know, like you said, you got to just look at what Yah has given us right in the pages of his scriptures, so that we can always have that understanding, so that we can have an answer to those whom we come in contact with others who don't understand it. You know, we can go right into it right here, and that way we all can have that understanding, the right understanding about this, because it's something about that Christian world, man, they just done flipped. That's why they don't even worry about the Sabbath anymore. They don't want to keep the Sabbath. They don't want to keep the laws of Yah, because they'll tell you right away, I'm under grace, you see? And so that as far as they're concerned, that frees them from keeping the laws of Yah, which is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart, okay? But I'm going to read something here, and we're going to get out of here after a while. I'm not going to stick around in too much more longer, because, Elder, you brought out a good point, and I think that point is good enough for all of us tonight. And look at verse in Titus, okay? Titus chapter 2, it tells us in verse 11, for the saving gift of Yah has appeared to all men. You see? So this grace of Yah, this gift, has appeared to all men. How why you can't go around talking about, well, that's it, that Old Testament, you know? No, Yah's grace has been there from the beginning. His grace, his favors, okay? And so it tells us here, instructing us to renounce wickedness and worldly lust and to live sensibly, righteously, and reverently in the present age. Whatever age you are in, this counts, this righteousness living, okay? This renouncing this wickedness, because wickedness has been here since man, you know, was deceived in the garden. You know, Eve was deceived, and then, of course, Adam. So we just got to realize and understand what it's telling us here, okay? It's in this present age, whatever age that you lived in, whether it's this age now, or the age before us, or the age after us, okay? It is the present age. It's what he's concerned about, what he's telling us about here. Looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearances of the great Yah and our Savior, Yahushua Messiah, okay? Hallelujah. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people. See? Yahushua gave himself, okay, for us, you know, so that Yahweh will have a people that is cleansed for him, himself. A people, his own possession, ardent for good works. You see? That's why we need to be ardent now. We need to be ready and insisting on doing good works. You see? Doing the things that Yah has commanded us to do, keeping his laws, keeping his commandments, teaching them to our children, our grandchildren. Okay? Speak these matters, he's saying here. Urge and convict with all authority. Let no one despise you. You see? So this is how important it is. This is great stuff here that we just did tonight. This is a great point, Elder. And so I tell you what, this is a point that we needed to have brought out, and we need to continually to make sure we keep this up front, in front of people, because so many people just don't seem to want to get it, okay? Because they don't want to change their life, you know? They to continue living the kind of life that they live, you see? And so we need to continue to remind them, look at here, look what we're talking about, okay? Yahushua, what a great high priest we have, okay? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness in the heavens, the right hand of the throne of Yah, you know, our high priest. And I tell you, with this, I tell you, we could live a good life. We can find ourselves living a joyous life anyway. I ain't gonna promise you no riches or anything, but I tell you, you can rejoice knowing this, understanding it, just like the scripture brings it out to us tonight. Okay, it just brings joy to your soul, you know, because you know it agrees with. I mean, the truth is the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the key right there. The truth itself. See, isn't that great? So that's what we want to keep in mind, okay? Because it tells us over here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You see, we don't want to walk like that anymore. We don't ever want to walk like that, be led by the spirit of Satan. That's who he's saying. That's what he's talking about. Okay?
That's right.
Okay, among whom also we all once lived in the lust of our flesh. doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, as also the rest. You see? But look what Yah has done for us through Yahushua. You see? He has made a way for our sins to be forgiven, all of the things that we have done. You see? So that's a blessing. That's a blessing, I tell you, that once this thing is over and we make it to the kingdom, we look back on this world, the scriptures say we will loaf it. We will loaf our ways. And our ways, that word loaf means you would hate your ways that you used to rebel against the Father, okay? To rebel against righteousness. You'll hate those, you know? But Yah, who is rich in compassion because of his great love with which he loved us, you see? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By grace or by favor, you have been saved, okay? You have been saved from the death, you know, from the death, that pathway, that way that you were headed, that was destructive, now you have been saved from it and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah Yahushua. In order to show in coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor and kindness towards us in Messiah Yahushua. So hallelujah. And this last verse I'm going to read here, it says, by favor or by grace you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourselves, it is in the gift of Yah. It is not by works, so that no one should boast. So hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. See, when we think about this and think about how great, you know, Yah is and how much love he has for us, we won't have no doubt. We won't be doubting about this grace. You know, we will understand it. We'll have it in us. You know, we'll have that joy that is deep down inside that radiates when you appear before men, other people. You know, you have that radiating joy. So that's what I'm talking about. Because it tells us in this other verse here, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yahushua unto good works, which Yah prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Hello, that's first. I'm going to go. That's just enough there. Because if I keep reading, I'm going to shout. This is joy. This is, you know, this is something when you start to feel Yah's love within you. You know, it's there, right here, in these messages here. We understand it. Once he opened up our mind and break through our stubborn heart, and change us into, to give us that fleshly heart, that you know, heart of a man, a real human heart. Then we start to enjoy and rejoice in Yah. And now we can show forth his praise. Praise him right here. All right. So
hey,
Elder, that being said,
one more thing. I'm not gonna let the devil have an opportunity to twist one of the beautiful scriptures you read just now. It says for you are saved, you know, by grace, and that's not of work. You know, I'm telling you, the Ruach just quickened me. You got to speak on this. Don't close the program out on that. Okay. You remember that gap insurance we were talking about right before I got on?
Right.
That gap insurance to restore you whole. The insurance company will only cut you a check for their assessed value, but you want to you want enough money to replace and get the same type of car you had before you had the accident, you have to have that gap insurance. Yehoshua covers the gap. That is the grace. We remember what activates in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through, I believe, 12. You his living, walking in his righteousness. Say, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, then the blood of Yehoshua. There go that grace, that redeeming, that atoning blood covers you all unrighteousness. In other words, we cannot make it on our own because what? Shaul said it beautifully. All have sinned. And that means all had transgressed his law and come short of the glory. Okay? And if all have sinned, it said the wages of sin is death. So all of us, none of us have made it into the kingdom. We needed Yehoshua's blood for that gap, to close the gap, to be our gap insurance. So don't think you don't have to walk in righteousness and you would still be covered by that gap insurance. No. You walking in obedience, that activates his grace. That activates his blood, that gap insurance. Because it says, if we walk in the light, if we do it. It didn't say, come on, y'all. All the bums, the homemongers, the fornicators, everything. No, it says, it named all those sins, and it says, don't be deceived. It says,
that's right.
Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor drunkards, and it names the sin and sin and sin. All these sins. In other words, he says, all these people that walk in transgressing the law, he says, they will not inherit the kingdom of Yah.
That's right.
So don't be deceived. Some people's souls are so darkened that they that's all they look for, that's all that computes in their mind is, I can live my life of the flesh and still make it in. They got Yehoshua in this monopoly game mode. He's my get out of jail free card. I can do what I want to do, and I got Yehoshua, or his, they call him Jesus, in my back pocket. They think that's what grace is. Grace means it covers all sin when you're living a sinful life. No, don't be deceived. You're not going to leave from this program being deceived. It says if you walk in the light, his blood covers you from all sins. So have to say that because I know some people were going to get off of here and say, see, the grace was saved by faith. Okay. And with that, the ones who still want to be dissenters and walk in the unfruitfulness of their own lust and their dark heart, then Yah helped them because Yah gave us this message to clear this grace thing up. Because there are Christian brothers who are misleading people who know we are the Israelites, but they want to hang on to that religion for some ulterior motive, you know. I know it has a lot to do with dollar signs, but you can't say that you weren't exposed to the truth. To the truth about what grace really entails. If you want to leave here still blind and dumb, that you're doing it on your own accord, and you can't say that the truth, that you hadn't heard the truth. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Elder.
That's right. And this last scripture here, trustworthy, Titus 3, verse 8. Trustworthy is the word. And in this regard, I wish you to strongly affirm, and those who have believed in Yah should keep their minds on maintaining good works. Okay? This is good and profitable to men. Okay? So we got to keep our minds on good work. That's the condition. That's the condition. Good, and you're going to find the law of Yah. That's how you're going to be able to recognize good, because if you keep his laws and understanding in your mind, then now you're going to recognize what's good and what's not good. You see? Because he said the Spirit will lead you. Will lead you, okay, into all truth. So hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for this message tonight. Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay, with that being said, Elder, you don't have any more to bring, we can go ahead and get ready to close it out. And that way we can pick back up on this lesson on next week, okay? So
we'll say shalom, family.
All right. Shalom, shalom, shalom. And I'm just going to close it out with this beautiful tune here by our brothers here, because this is something that is nice to. It touches my heart each time I hear it. I like it. Okay.
All of my
Right. All right.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Good night. Good night. Good
night. Okay. Right. Shalom. Shalom. All right.